Yolanda was unimpressed by the decor of the restaurant, expecting it to be dark and gothic in tone. Instead, stark lighting, made more garish by the night, greeted her as she surveyed a small eatery with its bench-style tables and a large ordering counter at the back. It looked more like a quick-service restaurant from a 1980s-era mall. Noticing the coffins, Yolanda weaved her way to the nearest one. Adorned with flowers, the coffin sat inside a white iron fencing area.
"You're getting a kick out of this, huh?" her friend Betty said.
She left Yolanda where she was and approached the ordering counter. When Yolanda first read about the new Lucky restaurant, she had come across a short article about it during her Indian trip planning. Her curiosity led her to other articles. She had to strike a deal with Betty in order to accommodate this into the trip, since Betty wasn't into oddities as Yolanda was. By chance, the new Lucky restaurant was having a special one-night-only event at the restaurant during their trip.
"We better grab some seats. The waiter said that they're about to start," Betty said as she began to walk toward a nearby table.
"I already ordered us something," Betty said.
Yolanda sat across from her.
"How did you know?"
Yolanda began to ask when the lighting began to dim. Betty glanced at Yolanda.
"I know what you like and what you don't like. You're a picky eater," she said.
Yolanda stuck her tongue out at her. She didn't like it when Betty was right. Having been sorority sisters in college, there was nothing that they didn't know about each other. They were known as Hump and Bump in college between their clique of friends, Betty having the lusty desires of a preteen, and Yolanda having her fetish for the macabre. A waiter appeared from the gloom with two plates and two bottles of water, curry with rice and samosas. He pulled two wrapped bunches of utensils from his back pocket and slipped them onto the table for them. He silently drifted back into the gloom. Besides Yolanda and Betty, the new Lucky restaurant was almost full to capacity, many of which had arrived while they were waiting for their meals. Yolanda placed a fork full of curry into her mouth and watched as a few of the waiters started taking the floor arrangements from the coffins.
"Do you know what's going on?" Betty asked, wiping a piece of rice from her lips.
"No, all I know is that this is supposed to be a special event that only happens once a year. They don't typically open this late at night."
Yolanda and Betty heard a click and turned to watch one of the waiters lock the door to the restaurant. They glanced at each other.
"They don't want us to leave," Betty said.
"I guess not," Yolanda said as her skin began to prickle.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The other customers grew quiet, and the clinking of silverware being placed on the table could be heard. Yolanda noticed the waiters standing in a line in front of the ordering counter, each with a candle in hand. One of them began to pray, and the others followed. Scanning the restaurant, Yolanda noticed some of the customers were also praying while the others, who appeared to be tourists, only watched. Some of them caught her eyes with a quizzical look. The prayer stopped, and the waiters scattered across the restaurant, each standing as a sentinel along the walls and corners.
"Yo, this is getting so weird," Betty said.
"You say that all the time," Yolanda said.
"No, I'm serious now."
The two of them went back to eating. Yolanda was close to finishing her plate when she heard a scratching noise. She glanced at Betty, who stared back. Yolanda peered at the other tables. Some of the customers heard it, while others seemed unaware. The scratching returned, even louder than the last.
"Yo, tell me it's not coming from that coffin over there," Betty said, her eyes wide.
Yolanda turned to stare at the coffin. The coffin shook, and she blinked, trying to focus on what she was seeing. A scraping sound echoed across the restaurant in different tones as each of the coffins swung open. The crowd erupted in screams and gasps.
The muskiness of decay filled the interior, and coughing ensued as plumes of dust wafted toward the ceiling. Betty grabbed hold of Yolanda's arm.
This is not funny. What kind of dinner show is this?
Dinner show? You think this is a dinner show? Yolanda said.
Well, yeah. There's no way that this is real, right?
The coffins opened wide as more dust poured out from inside. Yolanda saw a hand grab the edge of the coffin, its bony fingers gripping and sliding along the edge. A ragged torso and a head raised itself. Running feet were heard, and Yolanda glanced at the door. A group of people stood in front of the door as they tried to go past the waiter who stood guard.
You cannot leave, or they will escape.
The waiter said loudly, as if to announce it to everyone.
These people in costumes are really scaring the crap out of these people, Betty said.
This is not what I expected. The corpses gradually stood up, their emaciated bodies swaying inside the coffins. At a coffin not too far from Yolanda, one of the corpses attempted to step out of the coffin but tripped over the edge, landing face first, its head popping off and skidding underneath the table. Betty screamed and followed the others. Yolanda sat transfixed in place. Her arm was being pulled. Betty had come back.
We need to go now, Betty said, yanking at her arm. I don't know what's going on, but I have a bad feeling that those aren't costumed actors.
A crowd was forming at the entrance, and some customers began raising their voices at their waiters. It took all of the waiters to block the doors. The corpses shuffled and staggered about in place as if confused.
Please, don't be afraid. Please return to your seats. They will not hurt you. This is part of the new Lucky. This we do every year.
The waiter said loudly in a heavy accent. He wore a different set of clothing from what the other waiters had on. The customers answered with admonishments and threatened with hostility.
This is going to get ugly, Betty said, holding on to Yolanda's arm.
One of the waiters appeared beside the man who spoke and gave him an ancient-looking book. He opened it to a specific page and began to read from it. The corpses stiffened as if they were being pulled by a string. The man continued to read, and the corpses started to shuffle towards the crowd.
Please, I didn't want to do this, but you will sit, and you will have respect for the dead. They will make you,
the man said as he closed the book. The crowd toppled over each other, trying to create space between them and the corpses. Edging along the wall of the restaurant, the crowd whimpered and murmured. They gradually returned to their seats. Strangely, everyone sat in the same seats that they had sat in before the corpses woke.
Now, we have dessert to serve. You will eat it, and then you may leave,
the man said with a smile. Caitlin scanned the walkers as more and more of them showed up dressed in zombie wear. The remaining light of day revealed the ripped clothes, dark eyes, and special effects makeup that shuffled between the old cemetery's gravestones. Next to Caitlin was her best friend, Roman, who was a veteran of the zombie walk. Besides the standard zombie attire, he emphasized on the special effects. On his head was a fake gash with a fake brain exposed.
So, you're ready to be part of something cool?
Roman asked, his fake lazy eyelid fluttering.
I guess so. I hope I look the part, Caitlin said, and she glanced down at her costume.
You look great, she said.
Don't worry about it. Just follow me and you'll have fun,
Roman said as he led the way to the start of the walk.
Do they typically have these walks in a cemetery?
No, this year they decided to do it differently since it's close to Halloween.
They made their way to a large gathering that stood waiting on a road. On each side were the gravestones. Caitlin felt as if she were mingling between cornstalks. Above the crowd, the lamps flicked on, and the full moon hung low. From where she stood, she could see a banner flapping. Before Caitlin could ask Roman what it was for, the banner moved forward along with the first wave of zombie walkers.
You gotta limp like you see in those zombie movies, Roman said, and he demonstrated by dragging his left foot and swinging his arms.
Caitlin peered at the others, and with some visual pointers, she mimicked the cadence of the zombies. Before she allowed the warming sensation of feeling foolish to settle in, she focused on her rhythm. Roman leered at her and gave her a crooked thumbs up. The zombie walkers followed the road deeper into the cemetery. Between the bodies, Caitlin could see the graves, some more elaborate than the others. Sneaking close to the ground, a fog drifted over the tombstones, as if it was keeping pace with them. Caitlin frowned. "Is that part of the walk?" she wondered. She turned to Roman, and a scream erupted from the back, drowning out the scraping of the zombie footsteps. Roman snickered. "They must have a group of non-zombies somewhere. They're probably reenacting a typical movie scene," Roman explained. Caitlin nodded. Peering at the tombstones again, Caitlin spotted one that had an unfinished grave. Slowing her pace even more, it appeared that the dirt was piled on the sides, but she couldn't tell for certain. More screams could be heard, then the pounding of footsteps.
"Sounds like they're getting closer," Roman said, looking back.
Caitlin's stomach dipped, and goosebumps raced along her skin, signaling to her that something was not right. She peered at the sea of walkers and caught sight of heads being pulled down, accompanied by the sound of snarling and squelching. Caitlin stopped her shoveling and staggered back. Roman had stopped to watch. She grabbed hold of his arm.
"I think something's going on," Caitlin said.
Something burst through as the crowd scattered, their screams bouncing off the gravestones. It crouched, heaving in place, its breath coming in short, ragged snarls. Caitlin gasped as she yanked Roman towards her. Dirt cascaded off its body, and one of its eyeballs hung out of the socket, lolling back and forth. The scalp was peeled in places like a filleted steak, exposing its skull. It sprung at them. Roman and Caitlin dashed, hopping over bodies and heading towards the graveyard. Caitlin pumped her legs as she typically did when she was done warming up during her morning runs. Roman kept pace since he was her regular running partner. Tendrils of fog tangled about their legs. The snarling grew fainter, and Caitlin chanced a glance over her shoulder. The thing had stumbled to the ground. Its leg was twisted at an awkward angle. Caitlin and Roman hid behind a thick tree.
"We gotta find help,"
Roman said, sucking in as much air.
"It looks like a bunch of drugged-up crazies showed up."
"You think that's what they are?"
Caitlin asked.
"Yeah, what else would they be? Zombies?"
Caitlin pulled out her phone from her hidden fanny pack. There was only one bar. Roman pulled out his.
"I barely have any bars," he said.
Caitlin peered towards the road. Bodies were strewn everywhere. She noticed that many of them had walkers crouched over them, gnawing at their bodies, necks, and arms. She turned away, her stomach churning.
"Oh my God, this is bad. This is so bad," Roman said.
Caitlin heard a rustling and turned to see one of the hungry walkers staggering towards them, its arms outstretched. It grabbed hold of Roman's neck and began to gnash its broken teeth. Roman tripped backward and landed on his side, the thing tumbling down onto him. Caitlin searched around for help. Her foot kicked a fallen branch. Taking it into her hands, she swung at the deformed creature. The branch hit its temple, causing it to collapse to the side. It struggled to right itself. Caitlin grabbed Roman by the arm and pulled him up.
"Are you okay?"
she asked, pulling him away from the thing.
"Yeah, I think so,"
Roman said as he rubbed his neck.
I think it only scratched me."
"Come on, let's get to our cars. The entrance to the cemetery should be this way."
They dashed up and over a hill, dodging gravestones in the fog and night. Caitlin could see the wrought iron gateway to the street. Pushing herself to go faster, her foot caught on something and she tripped. Skidding along the grass, Caitlin brought her arms forward to stop the momentum. She glanced back and saw that it was a hand sticking out of the ground. Then another hand wriggled its way out. Roman was yanking Caitlin up when all around them, the ground burst in sequence. Caitlin stumbled in place, using Roman as leverage to propel herself forward. Arms tore at their clothes and pinched her skins as they pushed and kicked through the mass. Dashing under the archway of the cemetery entrance as if they were marathon runners, Caitlin and Roman kept running until they reached Caitlin's car. They leaned against the Subaru, gasping. "We should check for a signal," Caitlin said as she pulled out her phone. She peered down at it, squinting under the light of the lamppost. Roman's hand landed on her phone. His skin seemed blotchy. Wondering what Roman wanted, she glanced at him. Roman's face was covered in spidery black veins, and his eyes had changed into milky orbs. He snarled and lunged at Caitlin. Thank you for listening to the Chillingly Bizarre podcast. For bonus content, check out chillinglybizarre.com. This was part 3 and part 4 of the Halloween edition, titled The New Lucky Restaurant and Zombie Walk, and were written by JDW. The episodes were narrated by JDW. All characters were voiced by JDW. Credits go to freesound.org and its following contributors: Starvolt, Seth Lind, Ed Harka, Deleted User, Meg McDuffie, Evansky, Mr. Han, Dreams to Become, 15F Panska, BitLab, Joel Jans, Craig Smith, Zatar, SideQuesting, Rain Gill, Castura, Mr. Rap for Food, TRP, and Christmas Crumble. Please leave a review on the Spotify app or anywhere else you listen to the podcast.